Thank you very much, David. And let me start by just thanking the Foundation for Science and Technology for inviting me to speak this evening. Now, as an electrical engineer who spent 20 years working in engineering and then found Parliament, what shall I say, not entirely rooted in the scientific method, it's always a real pleasure to be in an evening with spend time with people who appreciate and understand science and as well as the wider stakeholders in the research community. And discussing the future of UK science and research is something that is, you know, absolutely critically important, as Paul set out so well. And I do really want Sir Paul, I do really want to thank Sir Paul for each and every page of his review, because it is truly an impressive and comprehensive review of what, as Sir Paul said, is quite a complex R&D landscape. And the good news is, as the review points out, that as a country, we do have some key strengths and advantages. And I think, you know, we all know our great heritage from the discovery of gravity to the invention of the steam engine in my constituency. Can I just say that? Britain has a long and proud science heritage, and we have a world-leading science base. We rank third only behind the US and China in science and technology journals articles. But as well as pushing the boundaries of humanity's collective understanding, and can I just say that is a very important pursuit in itself, but as well as that, science also represents a priceless platform for the UK's future growth, very important to us, and prosperity. So as Sir Paul, let me quote, puts it, it's only through RDI that our country can thrive, driving sustainable economic growth through increased productivity, improving public services and the quality of our lives, protecting the environment and meeting future global and national crises and challenges. And I agree with every word of that, and I'm sure just about everybody in this room does. And so the review calls on both investment and strategy if we are to achieve this and capitalize on our research base. And I appreciate Sir Paul having set out the key recommendations as well as the quick wins, which is something that, you know, we are studying very carefully. But it's also, I think, clear to say from the review that there is work to be done. So I do want to take the next 7 minutes to just say something about how about these recommendations, and also what Labour's vision is for research and development, you know, how we will stoke the engine of high-skilled growth, access new and diverse talent pools, and catalyse regions with it which have been left out of science investment. Because currently, you know, it's clear that due to a combination of lack of investment and a lack of industrial strategy, we do not convert our rich science base into a high-skill, high-wage, and highly productive economy. And while the European Union and the US take steps to secure the industries of the future and build sovereign science and technological capabilities, the Conservative government have let our great UK science startups be bought up or move abroad because of a lack of UK investment options. And instead of action, we've had a succession of Conservative governments who have given us, I've just got a short list here, like not a comprehensive list, not as comprehensive as Paul's review, but we've had an innovation strategy, an R&D roadmap, a science plan, at least one, an Office for Science and Technology strategy, I think twice. We've had grand challenges, we've had sector deals, we've had two National Science and Technology Councils, we've now got a National Science and Technology Framework, two reorganisations of UKRI, and now a whole new science department. And since Sir Paul's review was commissioned, we've had three changes of science minister. So this brings me to one of the key recommendations which we are looking at very seriously, and as leaders we have been looking at a similar objective, which is to end the sort of the farce of supposedly long-term plans that do not survive the political cycle, and which makes it nearly impossible for science investors and businesses to take decisions about their future direction. Both science and business need long-term, you never get certainty in this world, or in science for that matter, but they need long-term a vision and a plan and steps to achieve that, which they can rely on for more than a few months at a time. So one of our proposals is our an industrial strategy, but also to put in place a mission-based strategy, and I'll just identify what our industrial strategy missions are: delivering clean power by 2030, caring for the future, it's about our social care, infrastructure, building a resilient economy, and harnessing data for the public good. And then these missions will be overseen by and accountable to an industrial strategy council that will be placed on a statutory footing. So that gives confidence to investors in our innovation, research and development strategy and implementation. Now, that's industrial strategy, and that talks to some of the interface, if you like, between science and business. But as well as that, as I said, science needs a long-term plan of its own. And so we want to support credible long-term R&D funding, such as through, one of the things we're looking at is a 10-year spending cycle. We need to look at how to ensure long-term funding envelopes, which still give government the ability to be flexible and agile, delivering effective research outcomes and acting as a magnet for global research, investment, and talent. And we also, and I think it's clear from the review, we're looking at the strengths and weaknesses of the REF, as the importance of stable long-term funding in leveraging private investment could as well in key areas was highlighted by the review. And so I particularly welcome review highlighting the patchwork and bureaucratic nature of some of our government-funded R&D. And the landscape it's very complex. It's complex for scientists. It's even more complex for businesses or lay people. Access to the research funding in the UK generally comes with a burden of frequent and repetitive reviews, reporting and audit of research activities. These can be extremely time intensive, as Paul said, and they also place the necessary bureaucratic and financial demands on public sector R&D funding bodies, instead of allowing them to focus on carrying out world-leading and disruptive research and innovation. So we believe there is a need for a clear, coordinated, and systematic approach to R&D strategy and policy setting at every level within government. So it's not something that's simply on our radar, or even that's simply been brought to our attention by the review. It is something we're having active conversations and discussions about now, and have been for some months. We look into how we can ensure the delivery of interdepartmental science and technology agendas, and also how we can develop credible alternatives to the frequent and repetitive multi-layered reporting and audit by government departments in UKRI, and to get that trade-off, that balance between accountability and also creating a culture of confidence and earned trust as part of a long-term plan for science. And we also, and I think this is, Sir Paul touched upon this, we recognize that there is a chronic lack of diversity, not only in institutions, but in terms of people and places when it comes to science opportunities and funding. The Golden Triangle, of which we are very proud, but it receives more public R&D than the rest of England combined. And 65% of the UK STEM workforce is both white and male. As Keir Starmer says, we take our strengths from too few places, both in terms of geography, but also in terms of demographics. And I was pleased to see that the review recognized the key role of universities here. We believe that innovation and science are absolutely critical to building regional economies which are strong and self-sufficient, not dependent on handouts. And so that is why we will champion universities and clusters of universities as engines of regional growth, providing them with the resources and the incentives to collaborate and innovate together with local businesses to drive regional innovation. And I think, Sir Paul, that the prospect of universities directing businesses to research than any elsewhere is very attractive, but I'm not sure how to achieve it. Labour, you're also looking at taking steps to have a richer diversity of researchers' backgrounds and diversity beyond the academic hierarchy, such as funding long-term teams and looking to overcome the inequalities that researchers face in applying for many short incremental grants. And that is one of the sort of the barriers to a more diverse workforce, when particularly considering the caring and other responsibilities that those from non-traditional backgrounds may have. And finally, I was really glad to see the review state firmly, and as Sir Paul has just done, even more firmly, that Horizon Europe is vital to keeping the UK's role as a convener and collaborator in globally important research. And as to why we haven't yet associated, and Labour has made it clear that we would associate, and we believe association is essential, and we also believe it's absolutely in everyone's interests, the UK and the European Union. As to why, you know, we can only speculate, but the fact is that you have to judge by outcomes, and the outcome is that we have yet to associate, and the impact on, you know, our science infrastructure, but also our scientists, our research scientists, both in this country and those thinking of coming to this country to collaborate and work, is incredibly detrimental. And we need to make progress in these negotiations, and it absolutely should not have taken us so much time to get to where we still are not. But finally, before I hand over to Vivian Stern, CEO of Universities UK, if it wasn't clear from what I've said so far, I do just want to emphasise that, you know, we in the Labour Party absolutely believes in this nation's R&D and scientific potential, and we see a clear path from science to the jobs that you can, in Joe Biden's phrase, raise a family on. There's high skill, high wage jobs that people are proud of and that we need to see across our country, both for our economic prosperity, but I'd also say for our national security and for our social cohesion. The Nurse Review is a fantastic piece of work. Now what we need is a government which is serious about science and serious about creating the outcomes that the Nurse Review seeks. And working in partnership with science researchers, businesses and trade unions, Labour will grab hold of our nation's future prosperity that Britain is capable of for a fairer and greener and more sustainable future. Thank you.